Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 17 of Ephesians 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may be able to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, and for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Well, what a mouthful by the Holy Spirit. You know, and I know you know this, I had nothing to do with writing this book. God did, though. He wrote this book. And his book is a book that is given to us by Holy Spirit's inspiration. And it's a book that's profitable. That means it's good for us. It's a book that instructs us in righteousness. It's a book that corrects us, that rebukes us, and that teaches us the proper doctrines or teachings that God would have us know about life and about Him and about Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. We ought to take His book more seriously than we do. And I got to tell you, the time I've been able to, by God's grace, try to study His Word, I've come far short of having the proper grasp on it. I know I've never preached a sermon that's been that good as far as I can tell, but I know the Holy Spirit makes intercession. And I know that the Holy Spirit takes where we leave off. And so you let the Holy Spirit teach you. You let the Holy Spirit outride any preacher you ever listen to, because we're just men. But God is God, and this is His book. And I pray that what He would have us learn today is about a subject that most of us have to deal with, but none of us want to talk about it. It is a sin that we sweep under the rugs of life, and yet it is the very culprit that brings about so much relational remorse, separation, especially of loved ones, of marriages, of churches. This subject is called bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is a smoldering, simmering resentment. It's a grudge, is what it is. It's an attitude of complaining about everything. Nothing ever is right. You can find faults with anything and everything. And it's a subtle sin that comes straight from the devil. Notice with me from our text at verse 31. He says, doesn't he, let all bitterness, not just some of it, but all of it. There's a place in the Bible that calls the root of bitterness has to be gotten out. It's the unseen. It's what's underneath. But here's the thing about it. And wrath, and anger, and clamor. Notice the order of these. And evil speakings. This is what comes out of it. Be put away from you with all malice. See, a little bit does hurt. A little bit of sin. And so I pray today the Lord will bless us to see the need for all of us to shake off the bitterness. Now I'm going to tell you, this is not easy. It's a decision that you've got to make. And it's a decision that you're not going to feel like making. Because many times you've been hurt. You've been hurt deeply. And it's hard to shake that off. In fact, it doesn't seem right. And yet the foundational key to dealing with it, if you want to make that decision, you can do it. And you can do it by God's grace. But the foundation is forgiveness. Forgiveness, we take that for granted. And really, when we're resentful and we're bitter, then we haven't forgiven. And so we pray that God would help us to enlighten us. And you talk about the truth making you free. I don't think there's a greater way that the truth will make us free than letting go of the bitterness that broods within us. And when it hatches out, it brings malice. It brings hurt and words and things that destroy relationships. Bitterness is one place that we have no doubt that sin separates. It separates. Now I know you gather this from what we've been talking about in the last few weeks. That here is a grace here of God. It is a transformation that God has given you and me by His goodness. And He ends this catalog of these seven vices that affect the Christian. And it tells us that we're going to deal with it because Christ has dealt with sin on the cross. It's about the cross. But I've said before, and I have experienced this, following Jesus is something we all want to do. But when we get to the cross, it's hard. It's hard to get there when we get to the cross. Everybody wants to follow Jesus till we get to the cross. And that's why there's a lot of bitter Christians. There's a lot of people carrying around smoldering grudges that they won't admit. They sit in church every Sunday. And they put on the face of ultimate hypocrisy. And they miss the blessings of the adorning of the new man or new woman that we have in Christ. See, the devil is the culprit too. He doesn't want you and me to forgive. He doesn't want you and me to have the freedom of loving and surrendering it all to God. But we have that call today. I pray that you and I would not waste one other day in resentfulness. So I want to talk to you that today. I've entitled what I want to try to say, Better Not Bitter. Now you're going to have some things that hurt in your life, I guarantee you. I don't have to tell you that. But you're going to make up your mind. Are you going to let them make you bitter or better? Better. Thank you. So when you think about the scriptures, there's a lot of things that happen to people. I'm going to tell you this. Bad things happen to good people. Even more bad things happen to God's people. But they're God's people, and you're that. And what God's doing you with the bitterness is to make you better. See, the Apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and the Scripture says he wept bitterly. But he turned to be a better apostle. And he fed God's sheep because of the bitterness that his sin and denial of the Lord brought on. Moses struck the rock instead of spoke to it in the wilderness when God had said, speak to it. God says to Moses, because you have done this sin, you will not enter the promised land. Did that make Moses bitter? No, not a bit. Job lost everything he had. Did that make him bitter? I remember reading, and you do too, his wife said in Job 2:10, well, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, shall we curse God who has given us good just because we have to deal with some evil? You see, in this life, you win a few and you lose a few. But that's not too bad with God. It's not. The truth is, and this is where I think it comes from, we expect far too much from this life and far too little from God. You got that? I want you to. Do not expect so much from this life. You're going to be disappointed. Expect more from God. He'll never let you down. That's why the scripture says, a man that has hope in this life only is of all men most miserable. Because this life, see, you know, it's just life. We need to fix our affections upon God. That's what the new man tells us. We have a newness, a new source. Back in the 1980s, I had a diesel Oldsmobile car. And it didn't work very well, and I changed engines and had a gasoline engine put in it. And one day, I had a guy that worked with me. I asked him to take the car and gas it up over at the service station. And so he did. And he calls me, said, Mr. Man, this car won't run. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know. This thing's knocking, shaking. And come to find out, he had put diesel back in a gasoline engine. You see, on the fuel tank, little lid you open, it says diesel fuel only. He didn't know that the inside had been changed. I want you to know that God has changed your inside. Now, it might say on the outside something different. Your circumstances might be different. But on the inside, God has given you a perfect, sinless, holy, adoring lifestyle. And you want God. You really do. And yet, we're fooled into thinking that we can mix this world with God. It won't work. It'll be just like that car. You will shake and you will knock and you won't be able to do anything very well. So what I'm trying to say today, we need to go ahead and bless God and thank Him that He's given us something new. That way, everything that comes in our life, we can be thankful for. And nothing that we deal with should we be bitter about. Absolutely nothing. But it's a lot like these sermons I'm trying to preach. These things are easier to preach than they are to practice. You hear me? I want to say three things about bitterness. One, we all have a tendency to be bitter. Why? Because we're sinners. You know why we sin? Because we're sinners. That's the way it is. First thing we need to understand is we need a Savior because we are sinners. And we have one. What we need to do is trust Him. Second thing I want to try to say about bitterness, the better of bitterness, is that we have trials. And trials have one purpose, to make us better. David said in Psalms 119, until I was afflicted, I went astray. See? And then the third thing I want to say about bitterness, to make you better, is you got to take it to God. You got to take it to Him. You know why you got to take it to Him? Because God has given it to you. So you give it back to Him. Hey, God is sovereign. That means everything that comes in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything in between, God has allowed that. And we have sung already, just like little children, God is love. So it comes to love. God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand Him in that way. But I'll guarantee you, once you understand that, you'll understand that you don't need to be bitter about absolutely anything. Nothing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Now, I should have reckoned, and you know this, in 1 Corinthians 10, there's a couple of verses that relate to this experience in the wilderness among God's people. Because what you and I are going to find about God's people in the Old Testament is a lot like God dealing with us in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 10, God says point blank in the 11th verse that these things were given, that is, these examples of the Old Testament, for our learning, for our admonition, for our warning. So what God is word, we need to see God's word as a warning. You let the Holy Spirit search your heart this morning. Let Him see every room, okay? See if He can find any bitterness. Most likely there's some there. But look at verse 23. Now Israel has been delivered from the Egyptian bondage. This subject today, bitterness, it's not about being saved. See, you're already saved. God's already done the hard stuff. So they're already saved. They're already delivered, and yet they go through a wilderness. That's how God does it. You know what? God's not going to let you and me be too happy in this world. You hear me? He's not. Why? Because it's not our home. You might say, well, why don't I have all this? Why didn't I have all this? If you got everything hunky-dory like you want it, you better say, God, save me by your grace, because I don't think I'm saved. God's going to let you be happy in this world. Why should He? The thing is, we all have far more than we deserve. And yet we're bitter about something we don't have or something somebody said or done to us. And God's already saved us by His grace. We're going to live in heaven with Jesus forever. We are co-heirs with Christ. So they're in the wilderness. How did they get there? God led them there. Just like the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness. He leads you and I through the problems and trials of this world. He led Israel there by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And yet they act so surprised that they got to deal with this mess. Sounds like us. Verse 23, Exodus 15. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, here's what I want to say to you about that verse. At least one thing I want to say is this. The only thing worse than we not having what we vitally need, because they needed water. You can't live without water. There's things we desperately need. It might be church, marriage, love. But the only thing worse of not having what we desperately need is having that and it be bitter. You understand that? In other words, I heard you take somebody that's single and say, well, I just want to be married. Marriage is a good thing. It's God's idea. But you can get in a bad marriage. You hear me? It can be a bitter experience. Rachel, the Old Testament, she was bitter. She had no children. I just need children. I'm barren. And she was bitter. God sent her Absalom. She'd have been better off not having any children. You understand that? You be careful, and I need to be careful how we say, well, I just wish I didn't deal with this. I mean, I wish I had maybe somebody else to try. You don't want that. See? See, they get there, and they get to the water, which they definitely need it, but they can't drink it because it's bitter. See, that's what disappointment does. You can't have a relationship like you want with somebody because of what's happened, so it's bitter. I'm going to tell you, sin separates families. I know for sure it can separate a mother from their children. It can. That's what it does. And yet we get to understand that what we have to do is we have to take this to Jesus. And I haven't got to that point yet. But I'm going to get there. So you hang in there. But what we got to deal with is understanding that what's on our side, because we hurt people too. But when I think about this, don't expect somebody you've hurt to just forget about it all and embrace you as a real close friend and trust you. Don't get hung up on that stuff. It's not going to happen. But don't let it make you bitter because it doesn't. See? Don't let it make you bitter. The Apostle Paul was on an island of Miletus in a shipwreck. Could have made him bitter. He's over there looking for God. You think that shipwreck was an accident? Do you think what's happened in your life is some kind of accident? I'm kind of here to tell you. We have a servant God, a sovereign God rather, who misses nothing. It all comes from Him. He's over in that island, and he's standing by the fire. They're cold. A snake bites him on his hand. You remember that story? A viper And so the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, everybody looked and said, man, that man, what has he done wrong? What the native said over there. They saw him. The Apostle Paul shook it off. Shook it into the fire, and the people said, man, that man must be a god. He shook that snake off, didn't even hurt him. See, that's how resentment, you got to shake it off. My grandson Jackson told me, he watched a snake show the other day, a reptile, and some Australian guy was handling venomous snakes. And he said, granddaddy, you know what he said? He said, it's not the poison that bothers me, that I'm afraid of. It's the behavior. See, that's how it is. I mean, that's deep theology. This behavior. See, we got that poison in us. We're going to have it till we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you this. It's the behavior that brings it out. Now, if you and I set a decision, if you want to work out what God has worked in you, and that's what God's called us to do, according to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for is he that liveth in us both the willing to do of his good pleasure. You see, I'm not going to be resentful anymore. And I'm going to cry out to Jesus to help me. I'm going to take it to the cross and I'm going to leave it there. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what the cross is for. It's a tendency we all have to be resentful. To be bitter, to complain. I'll tell you a little story. It's a big story for me. When you lose a child, it will kind of change things. What it changes is you understanding that you're not bulletproof. What it changes is understanding that life comes from God. And I told you the other night, I told somebody, I don't mind admitting, I cried from Statesboro to Augusta, Georgia when our son John Emery was there. A grown man can do it. I know. But I remember not long after that, my wife, Penny, was pregnant with our daughter, Sarah. And I remember going to God with this. Now here's the gist of what I'm going to say, and that's why you need to be careful. I prayed to God, Lord, if you would be so merciful to let us have a healthy child. I didn't say a boy or a girl, pretty or handsome, talented. I said a healthy child. I said, Lord, I won't complain anymore. Now, I said that. I don't know why I said it. I probably shouldn't. You be careful what you promise God. Because I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of numerous cases since Sarah was born, and she sits right there. We're so thankful. I found myself complaining. Would you believe it? I'm complaining. What are you complaining about, Randy? Because the beavers are in your creek? Because we had a little cold snap and the snow, you couldn't travel, and yet there's people up in North Carolina that hadn't seen their homes. You see how fickle we are? I mean, if there's anything we need to repent of, probably more than anything, it's just being complaining. Look at our Exodus again. In verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? That murmuring, that's kind of I read that the other day. It's something you can hear a long way off, but it's kind of something you say under your breath. You're really complaining. But here's the problem with that. What these people were doing here and what we do, they had something they needed that was bitter. So they blamed Moses. Moses, What did Moses have to do with it? Well, that's how we do. Well, I'm bitter, but it's because of you. You make me bitter. I've had this happen in my life, but it's the doctor that messed up, wrote the wrong prescription. No, it's God. See, when you and I complain against somebody and blame them, we're really complaining against God. Now, you let that sink in. Because I don't know how you like me. You don't want to take that. Stuff's hard to take. There's some medicine that you got to take that's kind of bitter. I drank some unfiltered vinegar every morning. That stuff's bitter. I don't drink it because it tastes good. I drink it because somebody said it makes you better. I don't know if it does or not, but I'm still hanging in there. You got to take what God gives you. You got to play the hand you're dealt because God's the dealer. They blame Moses, but they're really blaming God. And we do too. And he cried, Moses did, unto the Lord. Take it to the Lord. You know why you have trials, things that make you bitter? Just so we'll do what Moses did. Take it to the Lord. See, Moses is an advocate for Israel. They didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do in the New Testament. But we have an advocate here, even greater. His name is Jesus. I remember reading a story about Toni Erickson Tata when she was paralyzed as a young girl diving in the pool, breaking her neck. She became paralyzed from the waist down or neck down. You know about this woman. She's a great inspiration. She is not bitter. But I read it, I didn't know. She said that changed for her because she was very bitter at first. But when a friend came to her bedside and says, you know, Toni, Jesus was on the cross and he couldn't move either because he was nailed there. To which she replied, it made all the difference in her world. See, Jesus knows how you feel about this. He knows that resentment. And yet, he stands on the cross, stays on the cross, could have called legions of angels, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And don't say, well, you know, preacher, I'm not Jesus, and you expect me to forgive what happened to me? You got another thing coming. All right, go ahead. You just take that resentment with you. But you're the one that's getting the worst end of it. You are. What these Israelites didn't know, it was far worse for them to be in the prison of Egyptian bondage than have to deal with some bitter water. See, you can deal with what life treats you because we got a God that treats life. Let's see what God does. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. God does not mess around with you and me in his chastening, in his life. God don't play. He doesn't. The devil does, but not God. Now, the thing is about grace, and I'll try to close pretty quick. You got to take it to God. Because that's the only way you're going to get out of this stuff. If you really want to, I can't make you want to, but God can. What God did, he showed him a tree. Now, the tree had been there all the time, but they didn't see it. Do you know there's things in your life that have been there all the time? You just didn't see it. It might have been a wife, a husband, a child, a church. It might have been a problem, a pain. I went out on my back porch, my screen porch, after I had my knee surgery, and I know I'm a pansy because you many of you had worse things that happened, but I had been taking some pain medicine, and that stuff got me so depressed. I went out on there one day, and I sat down on one of those chairs out there on that porch. Man, I didn't want to do anything. I mean, that's what bitterness does. I mean, bitterness will make you blow horns at people that turn in front of you. Bitterness, you can't eat and enjoy your meal if you're mad. You know what? What a waste being bitter is. You can't enjoy your work. You can't enjoy your wife or your children or your husband or anything else. What good is anything without bitterness? Because what good is anything without God? Nothing. It's just like a plane without wings or a train without tracks. I remember sitting out there and only God's grace, He showed me. I look out and I see the trees. I hear the birds. They had been there all the time. I just hadn't heard them just like that. People driven by this church. But then you go in, God has to show it to you. That's my point. He showed them a tree. And the tree says you got to cut it down. You know that's Jesus on the cross. You know He died on the tree. He became a curse for us. So what I'm trying to tell you is these trials, these deals we have to deal with, these issues that hurt. Now, I'm not belittling that. But they do not have the wrath of God in them. You understand that? Sherry played, Jesus paid it all on the offertory. And I was thinking, either He paid it all or He didn't. So just because you and I have to deal with things that hurt, always know that is not for you to pay for your sins. They have been paid for. But God does say He chastens those that He loves. So there's a one-in-one chance. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to deal with hurt. And if you don't react right, you'll end up being resentful. And even though you might die a bitter man or a bitter woman, it's a whole lot better than dying in the bondage of sin. But I am sure they are Christians who lay in caskets or who are cremated who have been bitter to their dying day and ought not to have been. I don't want to be bitter anymore, do you? I want to be better. Don't let what's wrong with the world or with somebody else take away what's right with God. I have been in the hospital and I have seen a person in a wheelchair smiling. And at the same time, the person pushing the wheelchair was acting like they were mad with the world. I tell you, take it to the Lord. Don't bring it back either. Leave it there. Come back tonight and we'll try to finish this. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank You for giving us an outlet or resentment. We admit, Lord, it bothers us more than we want to admit. and left unchecked, it will simply ruin us, Lord. There's nothing better for us than what you have given us in our life. You are committed to making us better. After all, you've already saved us. Lord, help us submit to you. Help us surrender all to Jesus. He became bitter. He took on the bitterness of sin so that we could take on the bitterness of his imputed righteousness. Lord, help us live like we love you more than we love the world or anybody else for that matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.